great job, guys. If you have the Bible, take the Word of God this morning. Please turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I know these guys were practicing. I did not know that today was going to be the day that they actually sang. And they were singing about, as men, having their joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been going over different things, and we went over some things in Sunday school this morning. When it comes to manhood here in America, we've seen a cultural revolution. We've seen things happening in America today that used to happen just here and there, bad things. I remember when I was sitting, and I'm not trying to offend anyone this morning. There are people here who I love very dearly in other places who have gone through divorce, and it's certainly a hard thing. But I remember when I was a kid, I was sitting on the back pew, and the preacher asked for prayer for a certain person. And I looked up at my mom. I was a little bitty guy, and I just looked up at my mom and said, "What's wrong with them?" And she said, "What's wrong?" She said, "They're going through a time." I said, "What is?" And I kept pressing her. She said, "I'm not supposed to say, but they're getting a divorce." There was a day when divorce was such a word that it was like you don't even want to talk about it. But today it's a rampant thing. And I don't want to put any undue pressure on the men. That's not my intention. But fellas, we have a country that's going down the drains in large part because men are not leading their families in the things of God. And we have a group of men here, and I hope we attract more men like these men. We have some wonderful men in this church. Every man in here gets my thumbs up. There are some men, I talked to a fellow not too long ago, said, "Pastor, I'm not doing all I want to." And when he said things, I got to thinking about that. How many of you ever been part of something you want to do? I'm in that situation right now. I remember playing football in high school. And I wasn't a big tyke at all. I was quite small even then. Smaller, as you can tell. Had a few groceries, been to the dinner table since then. But I remember then driving home from a game where I just had tears in my eyes. I wanted to play so badly. And I had tears in my eyes. And the coach said, "I'm putting you in." And all of a sudden, things happened in the game and I didn't get put in. And I remember with tears in my eyes wanting to play so much. Fellas, if you can't do all that you wish you could do, I commend you for what you are doing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just keep up the good work because it is part of a team. You are being a part of a team. I was a part of that team. I wasn't doing all that I wanted to, but I was doing what I could. I was there cheering on my fellow teammates. And that's what you do when you come here. And thank God for that. We have some wonderful group of men here. And what we believe God has led us to try to be a blessing and a part of here is reaching dads. Because when we reach dads, we're reaching the entire family for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are seeing here in America today through various outlets, inlets, whatever you want to say, manhood being attacked. It's wrong if a man leaves his home because now he's a male chauvinist. Except you just put whatever noun or adjective in there that you wish, and the world will certainly try to apply that to your life. What we're seeing and have seen and have experienced in America since the 1940s up to present day is what we're seeing here is a lack of men leading their families in the things of God in the old patriarchal society of the Bible, what it teaches. And what we're seeing today, all this craziness that's going on in this country can come down to one thing. It's where the Word of God has been violated or disrespected. And what we're seeing is the result of that. We're seeing in prisons today that 78% of those people that are in prison are come up in a home without a father. We're seeing illegitimate child rapes in large part because the people in the home were without a father. And what we're seeing here is an attack not only on the family, but we're seeing an attack on the manhood, how God wanted men to raise their homes and understand what God has for them and for to have a blessed life. And it's not about material things, because I guarantee you, you can go to Hollywood and find a lot of rich, pretty people, and their lives are in shambles. And we can take that right back down to the local here in our community. There are people that are saved that are actually having, they're scratching their head, what is going on in my life? Now, what dads do, and moms for that matter, it's not just for dads this morning. What we are to do, we are to let God lead us in the thing, in the things, in the deeper knowledge of what He has for us in our life. We're to turn around and teach that to our kids. There is a method to the madness here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter, we don't have to go there, but we may wind up there. Peter, Paul says that the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and may He sanctify you spirit, soul, and body. We as dads have to understand how we are made. We're made in a trichotomy, just like the Trinity in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When we understand that we have a spirit, we are a spirit, we will live in eternity somewhere, and without the Lord Jesus Christ, we know where that somewhere is. It's in that awful place called hell. And with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we accept Him to be our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes within, and we have our spirit meets the Holy Spirit, and we're sealed until the day of redemption. We have a spirit. We are a body. We are a spiritual being that lives in a body, and we have intellect, emotion, and will in our soul capacity. And our soul is intellect, emotion, and will. I know I've already taught this, but here's the thing. Two reasons. Number one, I want to go back over some things this morning, add to some things that we have not looked at, but I go over things that you can turn around. Hopefully, you can go to the break room and say, Hey, Dad, come over here. Let me show you something that helped me. Let me help. Hold Mom. Come here, Mom. And let's go over some things that can help you help other people. Because, listen, our country is in dire straits. We're groping. We're going through the darkness, and we need the truth. My word, we tried everything. Let's get back to trying Jesus. That's where we need to be. The church house is significant. I want Washington, D.C. to hear that. The church house is significant. We are the light. You cannot be the light. We are the light. And it's time for God's people to accept that responsibility. Dads, I want to challenge you today to encourage other dads to accept that responsibility. God made a spirit, soul, and body. We understand as dads, we have body, we have five senses. And through those five senses, eye gate, ear gate, touch, taste, we can be tempted. And our soul... our body lets us know what's in our surroundings. Let me tell you something. We've gone through such cultural revolutions in this world that we're living in a more wicked, vice-ridden world than we've ever been in. You can get more sin on a computer or on radio or even on a billboard than you could years and decades ago. Amen. And see, we're dads are being bombarded, moms are being bombarded, and fellas, there's some fellas in this church have drawn their sword, and they're waging war against the flesh, the world, and the devil. And I say amen to that. And so we see here, there is a method to the madness. There's a way we can come back and combat all of this, and it is through the Word of God. That's the only defense we really have. Okay? By the way, you may be saying, well, I can put on the whole armor of God. Listen, God will not put armor on people until they're prepared for battle. He does not put armor on people until they're prepared for battle. They want to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Listen, we got to start Ephesians 1 and go through the chapters before we get to Ephesians chapter 6. People say, oh, I got my whole armor on. No, I'm fighting the devil. No, what we're fighting is an evil heart. And once we understand how the evil heart works and how our trichotomy helps this evil heart that we have, Until we identify certain enemies within our own heart, we can never go on to be victorious in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be dads, moms, whatever the case may be. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, I want you to notice verse number 5. Let's go to 5. 5 is good. Verse number 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity. You got that? Now the end of the commandment is charity. I'm going to stop right there. Now I want you to go to 1 John chapter 2. This is something we have looked at in past sermons right here. And we're adding to some things today, okay? Not being redundant. Even though redundancy is good. God knows redundancy is good because repetition is the power of learning. Right? The end of the commandment is charity. That's love. Okay? Now notice here in 1 John chapter number 2, the Bible says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now where is love? Where are we talking about love? Love's in the heart, right? I want to draw two hearts up here. I know it's Valentine's Day. Excuse my heart. It might not be as good as one as you can draw. But I want to draw two hearts up here. All right? We have two hearts. No, we're not talking about romance. No, we're talking about your high school sweetheart. What we're talking about here is two hearts. Now, I want you to notice how the Holy Spirit of God identifies some things about our heart right here, okay? In the next verse, he tells us what is in our old nature and our old sinful wicked heart. Notice what's in our heart. Notice this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the what? Flesh. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the what? The world. Now the world, all their commercialism, all their advertisement, all what they do, they appeal to the lust of your flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Okay? And this is how they sell things. It doesn't matter what it is. This is how they sell things. Even down to decent health things. You want to buy this vitamin. It's going to help you to be better. It's the pride of life. We want to continue living. We're not going to live forever. It's just inevitable. We're going to die one day. There's nothing wrong with vitamins. I take about 100 a day myself. But I want you to notice, what's in this heart right here? We have something. It's called lust. Okay? I want you to notice it. Your heart is full of lust. I hate to tell you this today about you and I. We're a bunch of lust buckets. We are. You might not lust what your neighbor lusts after, but you do lust. That lust is desire. What do we desire? Well, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, this right here is your old man, what we call the Adamic nature, sin nature heart. When you were born, this is what you get, thanks to the devil. This is what you get. And this is what I got. Now, as we grow up, we go through this America. Go through America. And the missionary was saying over dinner last week, he was from Russia, and he was talking about things, and he said, you know what? He said, our kids just don't have to deal with a lot of things. He said, there's heathen and there's Christian. But today in America, we have Christians who act like heathens. And the reason that is because somewhere, excuse me, dads, they did not have a dad to say, hey, this right here will wreck your life. Somewhere along the way, dads didn't have a pastor to say, hey, this is how you're made. This is what's going to wreck your life. I want you to go to school and get your 4.0 from Hopkins. Great, but you can get that 4.0 and still have your life burnt because you cannot neglect the spiritual life that is in Jesus Christ, which is the true life. You cannot neglect dealing with this because this will kill your life. Destroy you. Many facets. Now, as dads and moms, and we're emphasis on dads. Dads, we have to understand something. This is the old man. We get saved. When we get saved, the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our life by His Spirit. Now we have over here the love of the Father. That's what John is saying right here. Isn't he? He says, either you're going to have two different things in your heart. You're going to have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, but as what God desires is the new man to have his life what filled with the love of the Father. In other words, when we make decisions, we're not letting the lust of the flesh make these decisions. How is it can educated people make decisions? They know they're going to ruin their life, but wind up in shambles anyway. And it's all because this desire right here. This desire overwhelms, supersedes the intellect. If you don't believe it, how many times have you ever told your child or grandchild, don't you do that, you're going to be in trouble, mom, dad's going to have to spank you. Well, they do it anyway. They know the consequences. How many can say amen, I've been there. They know the consequences. They have been educated. But what is inside of them is a sin nature that is so prevalent that they can't say no to it. Hence, we have adults making decisions today. No, that's not biblical. No, it's not right. not righteous, but they still make these decisions anyway. Why? Because in their heart, their old man's heart, their old heart, they're making their decisions. By the way, even saying things to people that are hurtful, because they're making their decisions on the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You have two databases in your heart, in you, that you and act from, react from, and say things from. It's either going to be the love of the Father, or it's going to come back to this side over here. And you're going to act and react and say things and do things because the lust of the flesh is driving you, or the pride, lust of the eye, or the pride of life. It's that simple. That's how God made us, and the devil knows that. That's why psychiatrists cannot help you. They're not going to tell you this. Okay? What they want to do is give you a pill to dumb you down. They do. I'm sorry. They want to dumb you down and not let you understand what you're experiencing in your nature. Now, notice this. When this right here has been fulfilled, you've given appetite to. So I've always satisfied the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. What happens is dads are training their children by conditioning them because they're watching the dads. Right? And dad, children, little boys grow up doing what? Same things dad always done. Little girls grow up doing the same thing mommy always done. They smoke because mommy smoked. They do this because mommy did it. They treat their man that way because mommy did their man that way. You see? And here we have a vicious cycle. And here's where we're at Faith Baptist Church are trying to step in and say, look, we're not trying to hurt anyone. We're not trying to bash dad, bash moms, but we want people to step out of their family tree and look at your mother, your grandmother, your family tree and say, look, somebody in this family has got to stop this crazy cycle and let it be me. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Somebody has to do that. And when you step out to do that, there's changes. There's fear. There's a whole plethora of new opportunity. Yes, fears and challenges. But nevertheless, it's there. But here's the thing. Your decision not to is going to determine your destiny in Christ Jesus. Or it's going to determine your destiny in the flesh life. You choose. I choose. It's that simple, right? Now, in 1 Timothy, we have right here, let's finish the verse, verse 5. Now we understand in 1 John, John is telling us, here's what you make your decision. This is your database. This is all you have to pull from. This is it. This is all you get. I think Satan sold us short, don't you? This is all you get. Every decision you make is going to be lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, or pride of life. But here, how it's confusing to Christian people is this. We're saved, but all our decisions aren't made from this B-I-B-L-E. You see? All our decisions are not made from the Bible many times, but our decisions are made from the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And when our life and our decisions go against the Bible, listen, God's not going to bless. You're going to have tohu and bohu. You know what tohu and bohu? You know who tohu and bohu is? That's two playmates out on the playfield. No, I'm just playing. Tohu and bohu is Greek words. It means chaos and confusion. Excuse me, Hebrew word. There's chaos and confusion. That's what the world was before the Holy Spirit of God began to brood and move upon the waters of the deep. Those two Greek, Hebrew words are actually there in Genesis, and that is what our life is like when we go against the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God always agrees with the Bible. Always. And when our decisions do not align with the Bible, we're going to have chaos, confusion, the list goes on. Heartache. In other words, if I can draw one of those broken heart things. You ever did that when you was in high school? She loves me, she loved me not, she broke my heart, right? That's what you get. But thank God He did not leave us alone. He sent the Comforter within. He has sent us the Word of God, and He has given us a glorious group of people to be a part of, and that's called the local New Testament church to strengthen us and help us encourage each other along the way. And it's important that we understand this because the end of the commandment is charity. Notice this. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure. Oh, ahead of myself. Let's read the Bible. Now, the end of the commandment is charity. Out of a what kind of heart? Lust of the flesh heart? Lust of the eye heart? A heart that's going to make decisions based on pride? No. The end of the commandment is what? Charity, love, out of what? Pure heart. Pure heart. Now, listen to me, please. Dads, when we look our children in the eye and say, I gave Jesus Christ everything, but me and your mama's got to get a divorce. Honey, I gave your daddy everything, but we're just not getting along now, and we're just going to have to get a divorce. Mom and Dad, I gave it 110%, but I know I did wrong, and I'm not living like I'm supposed to, but I just can't change. You know why? You know why? They have probably, if they've been in church all their life and they're still living this way, they've probably been subjected to a theological system that is so liberal and impotent they cannot help them. And that's where Faith Baptist Church and many others come in. We do have the answer, and His name is Jesus Christ. We can help people. We don't want to browbeat people. We don't want to hurt dads. We don't want to hurt moms. We just want to explain this concept to them so that they can understand how they make their decisions. Because here's the great deceitfulness of it. Hold your place right here. Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter number 7. We looked at this verse. Times past dealing with this. Mark chapter number 7. Verse 19. Because it's entered in not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which defileth cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart, out of the heart. In verse number 21, you see that? For from within, out of the heart. Say that with me. Heart. The book of Proverbs tells us this, keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of your heart flows all the issues of life. That's your decisions. That's your decisions that hurt people. It wrecks your life. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Why do men commit adulteries and they're even saved? Why? It's a heart problem. Okay? Why do people fornicate when they've been told the Bible don't do so? Do not do that. Why do they do that? Because there's a heart problem. And you see, dads, moms, listen, all of our education and browbeating in the world is not going to keep them from doing things, the kids doing things they should not do. What will help them is for moms and dads, and dads, come on now, dads, this is what we do. We are to teach them about this concept right here. How they can be attacked through their eye gate, ear gate, through media, through various things that this world is putting out there. And hey, it's high time parents start saying, hey, that stuff is not my friend, and we need to do something about it in my house. Because we're going through life conditioning our children through media, through music, through all kinds of different things, and it is not helping our kids. And when we turn out and they turn out and they start making decisions over here from the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life, they're saying, I didn't teach you that. I had you in church. Why are they making decisions like that? I tell you why, because they have not been introduced to a theological system that is trying to help them to get victory over their sin life and help them to understand that the new man should have the love of the Father, the love of God, that agape heart, where we make all our decisions from that database, which is produces righteousness in our life. What we're seeing here in America is children are basically following dad's footsteps and making decisions because of logic or morality. This past week, I was at work and I was speaking with a guy, and he was talking about, I can't remember how we got onto it, and he started talking about TV, and I just made a comment. I don't have anyone in my house. I know all men, man, we do watch some things, but I pull it up on the computer. I don't have to deal with commercials that way. I just made a decision. I come up on the TV. I know how it affects you. I just know it does. And he looked at me and said, you don't have a TV? I said, no, I don't have a TV. And I said, I just don't want the filth in my house. I'm sorry. I said, I got little kids I'm trying to influence. I just got little kids in there. And I don't want them constantly bombarded with media that's going to induce a more aggressive approach to their little minds and hearts, that they will naturally want to make decisions from the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. I'm a dad. I've got to do something about that because I know it's in their heart because the Bible told me. And I know it's in there because I know it's in me. And the nut don't fall too far from the tree. Yeah. You ever heard you ever had your wife say, acting just like your daddy? I don't know if that's a good thing sometimes. You act just like your mother. I don't know if that's a good thing sometimes. It depends on if that's righteous or unrighteous. You know? But see, this is dad's. Dad's. This is dad's job. We're to draw the sword, the word of God, and go on the offensive, the defense. Not let the world tell us that our concept is backward, unintellectual, and not working. Let me tell you something. This is a proven method. There are many saints that have landed their children on the portals of glory, living a holy life with this concept right here, and let us do the same. We have a better ratio than they do. Amen. But it's the decisions as mother and father. We want this. Now notice this. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. You get this? It's a pure heart. It's something we must understand. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to notice some things here. I ain't even gotten really to the first point here today. Ephesians 4 verse 19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work uncleanliness with greediness. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about people who do not know God. Now, what we're seeing in America today is people who are saved and go to church, but their life and behavior is of the extent that it's almost, if you look at it, it's like, well, they don't know God either. Why is that? Well, all their decisions come from this database right here. And this is what Apostle Paul is saying right here. In verse 19, who in past feeling having given themselves over to lasciviousness. You know what this word lasciviousness here means? It means they're ready to obey any pleasure. They can't tell themselves no. And what we're seeing in America today is men going out doing anything they want to on Sunday instead of being in the house of God. They want pleasure more than they want righteousness. And there has to be somewhere along the line some men to stand up and say, no, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Because what we're having here over generation to generation, we're having a mindset in the men in this country that we're being men if we know all the statistics about football, or we're doing okay just because we got food on the table. I'm doing more than my dad did. At least I'm here. And I myself have found myself to be saying, hey, at least I'm doing more than my dad. But the factor of the matter is, gentlemen, is this. We must never stop pressing on for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have gone this far, we got to keep pressing on because our kids are going to meet new challenges. And we have to be leading the forefront, seeking God's wisdom on things, keeping our hearts right with God. And may I say, not being on the cutting edge of technology, but being on the cutting edge of spirituality with Jesus Christ. This is what we need. And I believe if the men in this church, me included, get a hold of this and let God work in our hearts and let the ladies and the men and the boys and the girls, everybody say, look, hey, God is real. He has a method. This is why this is going on in your life. This is why you're having this in your life. And here's the answer. And we cannot produce this out of self-will. It can only come by us yielding and becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Why is it? Listen to me, please. Why is it that can a man convince himself, or a woman for that matter, convince himself that he is quite sure that he is in love with another woman while he's married to another? Let me tell you why. We just read it. From out of the heart comes adulteries. From out of the heart comes fornication. What they're listening to, what men are listening to, what women are listening to, and this is why they're so very convinced. Yeah, so I just really feel like I love this person. Yeah, they do, because they're getting their feelings and their thoughts from this heart right here. Not from this heart right here. Listen, God's love won't hurt you. God's love is not going to break your spouse's heart. God's love is not going to break your kid's heart. But this kind of love over here, this self-love, it will. And you see, this time that men stand up in this country and break this curse, because generation after generation after generation of men have watched other men in media or in their neighborhoods or even their own fathers and said, you know what, I'm just doing what I saw done in my home. And there's men in here, young and old, they're changing. I can see it, and God bless them for it. They're manning up, so to speak, and taking on the world, flesh, and the devil in their own life and their own families. And may God bless them for that. Very true. This word lasciviousness means this. They have a readiness for any pleasure. There's no control, no restraint. It's unmanageable life. They're making decisions constantly. It's adding up to bad decisions, more heartache. In verse 18, notice here, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their, what's this last word? Hearts. This right here. They're blind because everything they do, everything decision they make, every choice they make is from the lust of the eye and the pride of life. I'm not going to church. Why do I need to hear the preacher? That's pride of life. Amen. I don't need to listen to mom and dad. Hey, that's pride. If we didn't need it, God wouldn't have given it to us. If I didn't need it, God wouldn't have given it to me. Right? So we understand here, this thing here in verse 20, notice this. But you have not so learned who? Listen, this isn't a 1, 2, 3 step. If you think that's what it is, you're badly mistaken. We must learn and obey the heart of Christ and be as He is. That's the whole thing. This is not a 1, 2, 3, I can do this. No, no. Christ must be our goal. Christ must be our goal in this life. Verse 20, he says, but we have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him. I want you to notice that phrase, taught by Him. How many of you are going through a trial? You don't have to raise your hand. You know what you're doing? God, you're being taught of God. You're being taught of God. Some folks in your heart or relationship with your kids, whatever it may be, you know what it is? You're being taught of God. He has you here today not by accident, because this is decision-making time. We're being taught of God. What? Failure. I've got heartache. I've got rubble. We're being taught of God. Isn't it any good not to forsake us? He is so great. We're taught in the school of adversity. In verse 22 here, we have Paul telling us that you put off concerning the former behavior or conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful what? He says corrupt. Now here's the thing, dads. If we go through life making decisions off this database right here, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, it's corrupt. Everything that's going to flow out of that and the result of that is going to be corrupt. It's going to be corrupt. I can't tell you how many men and ladies I have looked in their eye and they're quite adamant that they love this other person more than they love their own spouse. And they, you know, and I'm quite sure they have not come to this understanding. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You see? And if that be true, and they know it's true, but in their heart they feel like they really, really believe they love this person. Or they really, really believe that they don't need to be with this person anymore. They're quite convinced of it. I don't love them anymore. You know what that is? They're getting all their data from right here. And it's corrupt. And everything that's going to flow from that after that decision is made is going to be corruption. Corrode. I was telling my wife last night, I told her, a Sunday school teacher taught me in Sunday school. Later on, the guy, he dumped his wife. He was probably 20 years older than me then. He dumped his wife. Married this, had a sweet wife. He dumped this lady, dumped his wife, got married to this lady. And it wasn't no time. The guy had a heart attack and died. And I just can't help to think that God says, no, you made a decision. Daddy's not going to tolerate that now. You come on up here with me. You come on up here with me. That is not where God wants to be. Not that. Not that old man's heart. This heart over here. The love of the Father. Everything we do is because the Father has implanted in us that agape love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ. Right? He died for it. And He gave Himself for it. And that's what we're to be. So I thought this was about dads. You know where my son learns to be a good husband? By watching dad. It's funny. It's funny. I'll lean over to my wife, acting like I'm going to kiss her on the cheek. Dad, that's gross! He'd run out of the room. And I thought, that's any other time I can't get him to leave. Now I know how. But it's something to understand here. In verse 24, Paul talks about the new man. That you put on the new man, which is after God. Not after self. Not after a good time. But after God. Now notice this. It's created in what? Righteousness and what? True holiness. I'm going to close with this. I'm drawing three lines on the board here. Over here on the far left, we have holiness. I know this is very distorted. In the middle, we have morals. On the right side, far right, we have sin. And here's what I was trying to get across to that guy who was talking to me about. You don't have a TV in your home? I can have a TV. It doesn't make me weird. You know, look, George Washington didn't have a TV. Okay? Amen. Thomas Jefferson didn't have one. I can choose not to have one. Doesn't make me weird. I don't let snakes in my house. Does that make me not weird? I don't like a lot of dirt in my house. Something gets in. We got kids. Does that make me weird that I don't like dirt? How many can say there's a lot of dirt coming in through the media? What's wrong with saying, okay, there's dirt coming in through the media? If you don't mind, don't tell people to wipe their feet when they come through the house, come through the door. Now, that's your decision, your house. This is my house. Okay? But here's what I was trying to get across to this guy at work. He said, you don't have a TV? I said, no, I don't want one. He said, well, every time I go into my son's room watching them, they have either sports on or a hunting show on. Now, is there anything wrong with that? No. My son plays sports. We go hunting. But notice what God's standards is. If that's all I'm going to put in front of my son or my daughter as a dad, I have fallen short of God's expectation for me. What does God want from me? Notice this right here. Read verse 24 in its entirety with me again. If I'm going to help my children put on the new man, notice this. And that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and what? Now, is morals righteousness and true holiness? No, what are morals? That's man's standard. You see, as a Christian dad, you can still fulfill the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life by teaching your children right. This is right and wrong. Don't rob banks. Open the door for ladies. That's all good stuff. There's nothing wrong with teaching kids not to rob banks and open the door for girls. That's okay. But listen, it is not true righteousness and holiness. Right here's the mark where God wants us to be. Most dads are teaching right here or even over here on these categories. Am I right? You see, my standard for my house and my dad and for me as a dad, is this. That we are created, I'm going to teach my children to put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay? I'm going to read a Bible verse and we're going to close. Okay? Because we got a baptism to do. All right? Two passages. Okay? I want you to notice something right here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to notice something. Apostle Paul speaking here, verse 21. 1 Timothy 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. I want to honor my Lord, and I want to honor my children, honor my family. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. That word sanctified means set apart, has the idea of holiness. Some of you still turning. 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy. That paper clip gets in the way every time. I only saw one of the Roman numerals there. My apologies. Now I don't know why my wife's looking at me funny. I thought she might have had an indigestion or something. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2, 21. Okay, now 2 Timothy. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, isn't that what parenting is? We're to prepare our children to go out and do a good work. Whether it be a lawyer or whatever, do a good work in the name of Christ, right? Notice here, let's go on. Verse 22. Flee youthful lust. What kind of lust is this? Youthful. And dads, I don't want to say, offend anybody, but listen, we have dads that are 30, 40, 50 years old acting like 19-year-old kids. It's time to grow up. Amen. The Bible says, flee youthful lust. Now, you figure out what's on a 16-year-old boy's mind and then go from there. The Bible says, flee it. In other words, it's time to go on. Time to grow up now. Right? Flee youthful lust. Why? Because all that lust comes from lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. Right? Okay? What's youthful lust? You're not going to tell. It's hard to tell 18-year-old something. Right? It is. I was 18-year-old. I look back and said, dear Lord, help me. Forgive those that I came in contact with. Help those that I came in contact with. Flee also youthful lust, but follow, what's this word here? Righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. That's what we do, dads. This is what we teach. Moms, listen, mom, this is what goes in the heart of a little girl. And we here at Faith Baptist Church want to be a help and a blessing to all. All. None of us are perfect dads. I'm not perfect. No, sir. My wife's not a perfect mother. She's a perfect wife, not a perfect mom, I'm sure. If you go over here in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of themselves, talking about the last days. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, that means you took a covenant before God. False accusers, incontinent, that word incontinent means they're out of control, no self-control. Why are they out of control? All their decisions come from this database right here, lust. Okay? Read on. Despisers of those that are good. Why are they despising those that are good? They know what's right, but don't want to give over that self-life to what is right. And they despise everybody that goes to church, anybody that's right. And you see this even in the political field. They despise everybody. Now, verse 5 is startling. Very startling. Having a form of godliness. You know what that tells me? That was probably church people Paul was referring to. Having a form of godliness. Acting this way. Think about that. All that he listed previous to that one verse, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Then he goes on to say, having a form of godliness. That tells me Paul had in mind church people, but denying the power thereof. Isn't that something? Dads, I want to encourage you. there's nothing on this earth that will hurt me more than to know that I negatively led my children, taught them by example in the things of God. And I fell short of some of these truths. And it hurt them. My life, I could be a missionary. What is that? My greatest legacy, my greatest heritage, my greatest influence, my greatest fruit is my children. Because it is my children, hopefully it's going to carry on the things of God to the next generation. You see, my children, your children, are your greatest assets. It's not job, career, sports, any of this stuff. None of it. And as we contemplate our own life today, Dad, we're not here. I promise you, I am not here to say this is right. That, you know, you're bad dad, bad mom. That's not the point. The point is to reveal that heart right there, that lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life, that's in every dad. That's in this dad. But also, if we're saved, so is this. And this heart right here must prevail over this heart. Because when my kids see this, they're going to know what's right and true holiness, not morals. And you say, well, Pastor, my children are grown. Hey, if you still have the title of dad, you can still make an impact in their life. You can do that. And we here at Faith Baptist Church, the men here, we're trying to encourage each other. And we want to be an encouragement to you and your family, your friends, your brother-in-law, your nephews, cousins, co-workers, neighbors. Because once we teach dads this, I honestly believe they love their children enough to man up and follow the Lord and hopefully at some point say, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father, today I pray for myself as a dad, these ladies, as moms, we're influencing these younger generation, teaching them by an example. Lord, we ask that you give us the power of the Holy Spirit to make the right decisions, to pull from the right heart, pure heart. Lord, perhaps today there are spouses here that have said things that are hurtful, and it's come from a heart that is deceptive in their own life. They know it wasn't right. Lord, I pray today they understand and hopefully make the right decisions and understand where these thoughts are coming from. Lord, we pray you have your will and way today. Lord, may you strengthen dads and moms for thy glory in Jesus' name.